Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text, at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, who is none other than Terry Messenger. Terry Messenger has a mechanical engineering degree from the University of South Carolina and a Master's of Christian Ministries from North Greenville University. He serves as the Chief People Officer for Renfro Brothers Industrial Contractors, where he ministers to, mentors, and cares for the employees through human resource functions. Terry is also active in his church and has been married to the lovely and gracious Debbie for 37 years. Terry Messenger, welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show. How are you today, sir?
Doing great, Robbie. How are you?
Man, just living the dream that you are now on the line. I'm happy to have you. Well, let's just get started real quick. And if you will, just kind of fill in some gaps here. I was very short with your biography. Kind of tell us a little bit more about yourself, maybe a little bit more about your family.
Well, been married 37 years, like you said, and I've got two grown daughters who are both married and two grandsons. They're quite a joy at this stage in life to have grandchildren, have a great relationship with them. And the work side is, I've come up through plant engineering and project management and things like that. And now I've transitioned, into a ministry role. I function also like a chaplain at work and along with the other duties that go with it. But, it's been quite a journey to see what God's, been leading me to do my whole career.
That's awesome. Now, tell me a little bit more about exactly, kind of fill in some gaps on what you're doing right now at Renfro Brothers and how you got to that point in your career.
Well, I left a job after 18 years to come work for Renfro Brothers as a project manager, maintenance manager. And I felt like God was calling me away from my job, and this is where he had me. And Renfro Brothers is a Christ-centered company, and it was an opportunity. It was a difficult, challenging opportunity, but I went and then I did that for several years. And then, everything was going along fine. And, about 52, I was looking at, counting my 401k and looking at retirement, and God said, no, I got something else for you to do. And he called me into the ministry, and I surrendered in September 2008. Didn't know what that meant. My wife thought we were going to Africa or something because it was at a missions conference. we started dealing with it and working through it and trying to get some confirmation. And I actually went in the next day to work and told the owner and the VPs that I don't know how long I'll be here because I got called into the ministry last night. And I don't know what God's got in store. And I kept waiting on somebody to tell me that you're crazy or what are you doing? But everybody said, we've seen it coming. It's not a surprise to us. So.
Isn't it always the first thing that we think of when we feel called into the ministry that we have to go somewhere overseas to do something for a people we'd never met before? But the Lord just called you into the ministry so that you could minister to the people you were already working with. And kind of tell us how you actually got to the understanding that you weren't supposed to be going to Africa and you were supposed to be staying right where you are doing what you're doing.
Well, I started looking at, you know, to get an appointment with the mission board. You had to have some educational background. So I looked at North Greenville, and I could, you know, if I took some courses there, that, you know, I could get an appointment. So I started that at that route, working on my master's. But and then as I got started in it, I really enjoyed it, and you know, it really helped fill in some holes as far as you know, my foundation, you know, being in church, you know, growing up in church, there's a lot of things that you aren't taught. So I gained a lot better foundation, and I just felt like God was, you know, was leading me. And, I took me 3.5 years to get my degree, and I'm like, okay, God, let's what you going to do now? And then I waited. And, it took another 3.5 years before this job developed. Now, William and I have been talking about doing something in this role, you know, chaplain, caring, you know, doing some things with the people that we weren't doing as a company before. And I got real frustrated at the very end. I'm like, and so I went home one Wednesday night, and this was in September. I told my wife that I'm going to go in tomorrow and just tell them, say, look, you know, make a decision. We're going to either do ministry here, or I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go do ministry somewhere. I may still work here, but I'm gonna go somewhere else. Well, little did I know that they were actually meeting that night and making a decision to pull me out of project management and put me into this role. So the next morning we were in our devotion, and William started talking about some changes he's gonna make, and he talked about a bunch of different things. And right before we sit down, he said, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna be asking Terry to do something different." And that was this role. And I'm like, and that was kind of like a confirmation from God on the timing of it, that, you know, because, and people would ask me, where do I think my ministry was? I said, it's always been right here. God prepared me, you know, all these years to be able to work in this environment and industry with these guys. And I never could really see myself going back and starting over with the church, you know, that I felt like I had a different set of skill set. So this job was actually created for me.
That's awesome. Now, you know, one thing that came to mind while you're talking is that the fact that you were willing to wait on the Lord's timing. I know you were 3.5 years getting your education, another 3.5 years waiting on the Lord to show you what he wanted you to do. You know, a lot of times when we make bad choices, it's because we're not willing to wait on God's timing. You know, it made me think of Moses. Moses, when he was 40 years old, decided he was going to be Israel's savior in his own time, and ended up making a horrible choice after murdering an Egyptian. And he spent another 40 years in the wilderness before, so that the Lord could shape him at the age of 80 to be the kind of leader that God wanted Moses to be. So kudos to you for waiting on the Lord, timing, not your own. Now, tell us a little bit more about how you are using that your current position to impact others for Christ. Give us a walk through a typical day for you.
Well, there's not a typical day. It's, you know, as an engineer, I knew what my schedule was going to be and knew what to do and had plans and schedules. And I walk in every day, and you know, just this week I had a guy come in right about lunchtime. He needed to see me, and his wife had some serious health issues, and he was just overwhelmed. And so, you know, I took care of the job part because he was supposed to be working. He just wasn't able. And so, you know, but then, you know, we talked about some different options we could do, and then, you know, we had prayer. And, you know, ask God for that wisdom and guidance on what we need to do, and give him a peace. And then he left. I said, I'll call you back this afternoon and let you know what we're going to do with you. Cause it just wasn't working him on the job we had him. And so I called him back about an hour later. I said, well, God answered your prayers, cause I found the job, and they were just trying to figure out how they were going to do this job. And he was the perfect guy for it. And just, so he's working today, and just right near home, where he can, you know, help take care of his family, and you know, and it was an answered prayer for me and him. And but I get to do those things like that every day, and I do a lot of new employee orientations, and I still, you know, I go a couple times a week, It just depends on what the needs are. I'll go to the job sites and put on my boots and my hard hat and go into the plants and see where my guys are working. And just, you know, sometimes just, you know, you have a few minutes with them. Sometimes, you know, you get a chance to talk to them, and or a lot of time I schedule an appointment after hours. They don't want anybody to know that they're talking to me, and they'll come after hours. And so it's an open door, and I'm not in the chain of command. They can come see me and talk to me, and, you know, and then, you know, when people have a real ministry need, like, you know, if somebody has a death in the family or one of our employees in the hospital, I'll do those visits. And, you know, so it's a ministry first. That's the first thing. But I think the you can't always go with that in a secular world. So I tell people, I help them be successful in life, whatever that looks like for them. You know, as part of their Christian walk, or as their career, you know, as far as their personal life. You know, and so that's kind of a typical day for me.
You know, I'm reading a book right now that talks about how you can create a ministry through your business. And one of the components that the book mentions is if you really want to be a Christian business, you really have to be able to treat your employees like human beings and care for them at all levels. Because it doesn't do any good as a Christian testimony if you care for your customers and care for your vendors, but you totally ignore the people that you work with every day. And praise the Lord for you guys at Renfro Brothers doing what you've done to basically create your position, which, you know, for lack of a better term, I know your title is Chief People Officer, but is it safe for me to say it's kind of like being a corporate chaplain as well? I mean, is that pretty much?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you are.
Well, but I do a lot of other things too, but yeah, that is one of my roles. And when we have a need, and, you know, if an employee, you know, we had one that had an event at work and actually passed away, and I had to go talk to the family. I mean, so it's, you know, it's whatever comes up. I mean, you just don't ever know what occurs, and, you know, people are struggling with their marriages, and of course in today's world it's alcohol and drugs are issues, and just, you know, and sometimes it's all on the power of the Holy Spirit, because in some of these areas I'm just completely, you know, out of my comfort zone. And I had one here recently that he wanted to talk about some things I wasn't up on, and I tried to get him to go somewhere else, and I have access to the counselors and things, and just, you know, he said, no, I want to talk to you. You're the only one I trust. You're the only one I know. I don't want to go see another counselor or a medical doctor. He said, I want to talk to you. So I said, well, you don't have much, but we'll work through it. And he's back on the job doing well. So.
Amen to that. I tell you, that's just great. And if you're listening to this broadcast right now, and you happen to own a company, and maybe you don't have the financial resources to hire a full-time on-staff corporate chaplain, just know that there are companies out there like Corporate Chaplains for Christ, I think is one name of them, that where you can actually hire a corporate chaplain on a contract basis. They won't be your employee, so it won't be as expensive, but you'll get some of the same benefits there, just being able to take care of your people. So praise the Lord for that. Terry, what would you consider your biggest career failure? Or if you don't like the word failure, maybe your biggest career challenge? And what kind of lesson did you learn from that?
Well, that's in some ways, that's a pretty easy question. And it really kind of... with what I'm doing now, it just really sets the stage for work. When I got out of school, I was young, knew it all, you know, and I was in a leadership role, this is my fourth real job out of school, and, you know, I was trying to, you know, set the world on fire, and I was all about getting the job done, all about the task, and the people they didn't really matter. Now, I even made the statement back then that I wasn't here to make friends, that I was here to get the job done. And I was working for, I went from the corporate world to a privately owned company. And I didn't understand the culture when I made that transition. And I was trying to make things happen the way I'd done in the corporate world. And they weren't quite ready to move at the level that I wanted to move. And then they did this thing called an employee attitude survey. And I just told my guys, well, you can't say whatever you want to about me, go for it. And boy, they did. I mean, it was just
they let you have it. Huh?
They let me have it. I mean, it, and you know, it was some of it was, I mean, stung really hard, but it was 100% true. I mean, it just, you know, and when I got the results, and then I started realizing that the company really put a lot of stock in that, and I thought maybe at one point there that they were gonna terminate me, because I just, you know, but they like, no, we're gonna work through it, but you know, you've got to make some adjustments, and you know, we had to have meetings with the owners of the company and have an action plan, what you're going to do about these things. And during this time, it's the same time that, and it's funny the way God worked, but during this same time when God was dealing with about a lot of other things, and he was working on my heart and changing me. And so I started making changes, and you know, started really caring for my people, and I completely turned it around on the, and they, in a year's time, we're going to repeat this, and we're expecting, you know, better results. And I did. We turned it around completely. And the interesting thing is that a lot of times we think when we're in the Christian world working that we have to lower the bar and, you know, go easier. But that my expectations weren't lower. Matter of fact, my guys and our team exceeded all the objectives by far once, you know, I got them involved and put them first. So God taught me a lot there, and it was kind of amazing, but that I didn't understand any of that to begin with, because you know, when I started working, it was, you know, it was my way or the highway. I mean, that was kind of how you were taught, and you know, they would teach you other techniques and classes and stuff, but actually after when it come to get time to get the job done, it was just, you know, you just kind of forced it, and to go from that mentality and personality type to what I'm doing now is only through God.
Amen to that. It's amazing when you put people first, you oftentimes, if not most of the time, if not all the time, exceed your expectations and exceed your goals, because we can't accomplish anything on our own. And if we're welcoming people alongside and treating them right, that's going to make everybody more productive, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no question about it.
And that's a great lesson to end segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, "Once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and his glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work. Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the career direct assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the career direct assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart-connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Looking for a reason to roam through the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now back to our interview with Terry Messenger. Terry, what would you say has been your biggest career success, and what made it so successful?
Well, I'll use the same kind of example, but I had moved to another plant with the same company several years later, and they had just gotten rid of the plant engineer in my position, and They had the absolute worst attitude, and the company had been doing these attitude surveys for over 30 years and said it's the worst they'd ever seen anywhere at any company. And they put me in there and says, you know, you need to fix this. And we'll do another survey in another year, and, you know, we expect, you know, different results. And so I went in, and it was a real obstacle to get people to change their attitudes and to believe in something. I mean, they had been mistreated and beat down, and just, I mean, it had been a bad situation. But I started, you know, just letting the Lord lead me and just, you know, treating the guys right. And we were going through team training and doing some things. And, you know, I demonstrated trust in them, you know, that, hey, I'll let you have as much as you want. And, you know, if you get to a point you can't handle it, I'll step in. But, you know, I'm gonna let you take the first steps. And we started making some changes, and it changed. We're also through in a big capital project too, which just added some more complexity to it. But we went through that and changed the whole dynamic of my area, and to the point that When we did the next survey, that I got called to the office, and the vice president came in there, and he said, I want to talk to you about your survey. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I wasn't concerned, because, I mean, you know, he said, I want to know what you did. He said, you had to do something to mess with these results. And, they'd gone from the worst the company had ever seen to one of the best the company had ever seen. It was best in our company by far, but even in other companies that they've done. And all I did was I just pointed to this guy. I said, it's all him. And this guy, I don't believe he was a believer, but he just kind of shook his head and looked at me, just staring at me like, you know, is that really all it is? And I said, well, just keep doing what you've been doing. And that was in the conversation about the survey. No action. There was nothing to do. I mean, it was just complete turnaround. And then the real success about that is, I mean, you know, my department and all plant was doing well, but I had several guys out of that group that went on to take leadership roles in other places and even stepped up in leadership after I left there. So, and you know, they were a dysfunctional group to start with. And they grew and, you know, and it kind of continued and started to multiply going to other places too. So, and that's one thing about being any kind of leader. If you're not growing people and you don't have people following you, you're really not a leader.
That's right. That's right. And it all boils down to just treating people right. I mean, there's a lot that goes with that statement, no doubt, and how we treat people right, but it's actually just, at its core, at its foundation, a desire and an ability to respect other people as valuable human beings and to treat them accordingly. Would you say that's a pretty safe statement? Does that sound right to you?
No question about it. I mean, God created them just like they created me. And you got to help them develop their skills and their confidence and, you know, do those things. And, you know, We learn that as parents sometimes, but when we take it to the workplace, we apply a whole different set of rules. And, you know, we need to care for those guys, you know, just like we would our children. I mean, they're under our care and, you know, and we need them. We need them, and they need to be successful.
Yeah. I'm detecting a theme in our conversation today. And that theme is people first, people first. And that's good stuff. Terry, what was there a time in your life? Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if the answer is yes, how did He clear the smoke for you?
Well, at the beginning, I was talking about my call and things. I was a little confused at that point, but the rest of my career, I've always understood who I was and or what I did and my skill set and. And I always felt like I was where God wanted me to be. And, you know, even in some tough situations, you know, I've been a troubleshooter kind of guy that go into a plant. I went into one plant where they'd shut BMW down, and I went in there to fix that. I mean, it was just I actually done that a couple of times. But, you know, that's a hostile environment, a pressure. And so I've always done this kind of, and even when I'm sitting in the parking lot going, Lord, what, why do I have to go back here again today? You know, but I knew that's where He put me. And so I just, the main thing is just be obedient, you know, continue to do what you know to do until He tells you to do something else.
That's right. That's right. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about it and how you reacted to it.
Well, I guess I have a little different philosophy about that in some people. I don't come out and, you know, try to evangelize people right out of the gate or, you know, hit them over the head with the Bible. I live my life first, let them see that. And I've got a couple examples for that, but, you know, we do these things and, you know, I've been in business and you know, have accounts and, you know, some, you know, major customers and some tough customers. And they quizzed me a couple of times. How do you reconcile that the business side and the Christianity side? I'm like, I don't have any trouble reconciling. And I'm one person. The secular and the sacred does not have to be separated. It's not separated in the Bible. And you know, Jesus, you know, he didn't separate them. But we've kind of like the church is one place and the workplace is something else. And we don't have to separate them. And I would tell them things like this. I said, I'm as tough a competitor in the business world as you will find. And there's an exact penny out there that you owe me and you owe my company. And I'm going to fight to get that penny. Now, the difference is I'm not going to take 1 cent more. And I had some look at me like going, well, that makes sense. I understand that. And so I didn't back up, you know, and say, well, I'll just, you know, I'm not being a good steward if I do that. But things like I was in this plant that I said, I went in, they shut BMW down, and it was just a hostile environment. And I waited, I was over all the maintenance and projects, and it was a pretty good sized job, about 50 people working for me. And I waited about 3 weeks, got my feet on the ground, kind of figured out a path. And so I called a meeting of all the people, and just, well, this guys, this is where we are. And this is where we're headed, you know, from a business standpoint, just laid it out for them. And then I told them, I said, okay, I'm gonna stop the business part. Let me just tell you personally, you know, that, you know, I'm a Christian, trying to live my life that way. And, you know, if you want to know about my faith, I'll be happy to share with you. I won't, you know, come out, I won't try to do anything on the job with you, but, you know, you know where I stand. That's what you can expect from me. And I asked them something, because the language there was absolutely awful. I mean, every other word was a curse word. And I just said, look, guys, I had the foulest mouth of anybody in this room at one point in my life, but I don't do that anymore. And I'm not asking you to change. I'm just asking around me, please don't use profanity. You know? And when I walked out of the meeting, I had a couple of guys that reported me just bust out laughing in my face. Said, that'll never happen. Well, The next day, one of the guys was in the meeting. He came out. He made a fresh trip to my office and said, "Terry, I want to apologize to you. I said some things the other day that I shouldn't have said, and I want you to know I'm sorry." And the two guys that were laughing were sitting there, and their mouths just flew open. And I stayed there over 4 years. And during that time, I'd be in meeting with the upper management, and if somebody slipped up and said something, sorry, Terry, didn't mean to do that. Now the key is, I never used profanity. If I used profanity one time, that would have been a joke. But they respected that because I treated them with respect. You know, they treated me with respect. And then things like, you know, take a customer out for lunch. You know, 3-4 of them, and it's all guys. And you know, I might be talking all kind of stuff when you start. But when the food come, I said, y'all mind if I have a blessing? And some, I got a few, you know, odd looks, and some of them never seen that done before, but I'd have the blessing, and it changed everything about the conversations, the whole focus of the meetings, just those simple things. A lot of time we want to do something grand for God, and that's not what He calls us to. He calls us to be faithful in the small things.
That's right. That's right. Just day to day, breaking of bread, day to day, just taking a baby step here, baby step there, just doing life the way the Lord wants us to do it. It makes an impact on people. It just absolutely makes an impact. But only if we're willing to do those things the Lord has shown us to do and live the way He's shown us to live. You're right. I mean, so many Christians, Terry, would have been afraid to ask the other guys at lunch, hey, do you mind if I have a blessing? And very few Christians would have ever made the statement to the coworkers, hey, please don't swear around me. But praise the Lord, you did. And that's a good example for the rest of us to do that too. Again, that's not shoving down your faith, down anybody's throat. That's just asking them to respect you as you respect them. And that's a two-way street, and it makes an impact. Absolutely. Terry, what would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
That's a more difficult question there. I guess one of the things that I've always done that a lot of, you know, the guys that I work with never did is that, And being an older guy now, I understand it a lot more. And I probably would have had a different answer when I was younger. But I go to the gym a couple of days a week. I watch my diet. I mean, I physically, if you're gonna be in this game for the long haul, you got to take care of yourself. And I've done that, you know, my whole life. I mean, ever since since college, I've always, you know, try to do these things and, you know, take care of myself, because, you know, I still want to work at least another 10 years and, you know, and then maybe do something else after that. I'm not, retirement is not on the horizon at all, but, you know, physically and as we get older, you know, we slow down, and mentally we're not as sharp, but if you take care of your body physically, that helps you remain sharp. And
yeah, no doubt about that. I know I'm only in my mid-40s, but I can tell at this age of my life, you know, a good night's rest, regular exercise, and a proper diet makes a whole lot of difference in my business productivity. On days when I subscribe to those things, I'm a whole lot more productive than on those days when I don't. And it makes a huge difference. Just in case it's different, do you have a number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Well, it's personal and business, but I have been a lifelong learner, and I read, you know, a couple books a month. You know, I study new things. I just, you know, I'll be 61 this month. I just went in this new role. I went into a promoter side, but since I'm doing the HR functions too, I wanted to be excellent at that. And I just went and took the course, and it was a tough course, but just passed the SHRM, which is Society for Human Resource Management, and passed the senior level in that. So the study habits, the learning new things, you know, always looking for that challenge. I mean, just if somebody's got to learn something, I'll do it and continue to learn. I have a quote. I ran across it today. I guess I've heard it before, but, you know, you live your life like you're going to die tomorrow, but you learn like you're going to live forever. I think Gandhi's the one that said that. But, you know, we got to continue to learn and grow. And I do a lot of mentoring with guys, and they get 18, 24, 25, and they just stop and they quit learning. And then they wonder why I'm not getting ahead. Well, because you're not doing anything different. And but that learning and digging and studying I thrive on that. I mean, it just that really gets me going. And it doesn't matter what, and I study a lot of different things. I mean, I have a technical degree and a Christian ministry degree, and I study in both of those areas and other things as well. So try to keep well-rounded in that.
There you go. How about a productivity tool, Terry? Do you have a productivity tool? It could be internet-based, it could be non-internet-based, but just something that helps you achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace.
Well, you're going to laugh at this.
Okay.
I'm an old school guy. I'm pretty, you know, computer savvy, and I use Evernote and different things like that. But in my job, I've never sit in an office. I've always been mobile and moved around, you know, being an engineer, and, you know, I climbed up on things, around things, and, you know, and I've always, what I've done for, I don't know, probably 30 years or more, I carry index cards. I use different colors so they're easy to keep separated. And like I'm going to see a customer, I'd make notes about things I need to cover with them. when I get in the door to see him, I just go down my list and make sure I've touched all the bases. And if he tells me something, then I write it down on my card and make sure I do that follow up. And when I was working in plants, I'd have my boss would say, "Put this on your card, Terry. I want to be sure this gets done." And my people knew that if I pulled my card out and wrote it down, they said my other guys would tell each other, "So you better make sure that's done, because he's coming back to check that." And I had a different card for different departments or different people, and I could just, as I was, you know, I thought of something, I'd put it on the card. Now, I have a really good memory, but when I got the chance to talk to someone, I didn't want to waste their time or go, "Wow, I should have asked him this. I meant to ask that," but just so I'm efficient when I get there.
Yeah, I like that. So the different colored cards were for different people or for different projects. I mean, did you have a system with the colors? Did that make any difference at all?
Well,
about the colors?
Some of it ended up with the, green would be if I was doing things with budgeting or dollars, I'd do that sometimes. But a lot of times it was just that the people want to know what color a card was. And, you know, what color is mine? I said, "Well, you know, you're blue." "What's that mean?" "Well, I can't tell you that, but, you know." But,
if I told you, I'd have to kill you, right?
It was a conversation starter, but people knew that if I walked by and I checked something and I got my card out and made a note on it, that they knew I was going to come back. And I did. I mean, 100%, if it went on my card, you can mark it off as being done, because I'm going to take care of it.
That's good stuff. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what your system is, as long as you have a system that you can work and that can keep you on focus and on task. That's good stuff. Since you do a lot of reading, could you recommend a book to our audience? And of course, the Bible is the number one book we should all read on a regular basis. But outside the Bible, what would be the number one book you would recommend for our listeners and why?
Well, there's a book that I read. This initially came out, I think, 89, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Yeah,
that's a classic.
And I read it. I did personal mission statement. I put the things into practice, and I taught it in different venues. I even taught it a couple of times in a small church in a Sunday school group, you know, just and applied those principles to, you know, your Christian walk. And I've taught it at work, it's training. And then I kind of got away from it, and I thought that, you know, maybe it'd gotten, you know, old, and they put out a 25-year anniversary, and I bought a copy of it and read it. It updated it some, but I found out that there was somebody that I was talking to that had gone back to a local college, and they were using that book as part of an entry-level course to get people thinking about their careers. And so I'm like, well, hey, if they're using it in college, and this was just a couple of years ago, you know, it's still a viable source. But the things they teach in there, and, you know, the first one being the one that really hit me was begin with the end in mind. You got to know where you're trying to get to. And when you talk about careers, you know, where are you going? You know, and most people don't put any thought into it at all.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Most people don't. And the thing they're chasing most is the money. And whatever path they think is the quickest way to money is what they choose, when in reality, God didn't put us on here to chase money. He put us on this planet to chase souls. So the better question to ask is, which type of workplace does the Lord want me to be in so I'm in a better position to reach souls for Him? And then, of course, as the Bible teaches, in every type of labor, there is profit. So you can make money anywhere. The question is,
right,
what's the best way? What's the best way God suited you? What kind of work environment, what kind of work that you can do, where you created with the skills, the abilities, the passions to do? And that's going to be great clues. Those are going to be great clues to the type of environment where you can touch the most souls, most effectively and most excellently. Which kind of leads me into my next question. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what kind of advice would you give them as they prepare to go out into the real world in terms of their career and their vocation?
Well, I think the first thing, and I do a lot of counseling with guys, and you know, they don't, what I find is that they don't really know who they are. They've lived a life, and we all do it to a certain, we put things in compartments and we keep everything separated. We don't really understand who we are as a whole, you know, like with integrity, and to know who they are in Christ. Who does God say that you are? Who did God create you to be? And to start with that, and when I talk with high school and college kids, I usually start out with this. I go, what's that thing that you went to when you was graduating and you had your caps and gown? What do they call that thing? What's that word? And they go, and they're kind of looking at me kind of funny. You mean like commencement? I said, yeah, that's it. I said, you know what that means? And like, some of them like, no, it means to begin. You're just starting. This is your jumping off point. You haven't arrived, but you got to understand who you are. And then along with that, you know what your strengths are, know what your personality is, know how to develop them. Most of the time in management, we're always looking for people's weaknesses and we're trying to fix them. You got to minimize them, but you got to know your strengths and be playing to your strengths. And then for me, and I think it's universal. You got to continue to learn. So many people stop short. If a 9-year-old or a 13-year-old comes home and says, "Well, I've learned all I need to know. I'm not going back to school anymore," we'd laugh and say, "You're going back to school." But at 18 or 20 or 22, we go, "That's okay. You can quit learning now." And with today's world, the rate of change is so fast that you can become an expert in a lot of things very quickly because you don't have to do all the background work, because you can just start with something new and just learn that. and just pick up where you go, you know, like with computers and things. You don't have to know, and I learned all some things back when I started, but, you know, you don't have to know all that stuff now. You become an expert quickly, but you got to want it.
Yeah, you got to want it, don't you?
Yeah, and that's where that passion comes in, you know, you got, you know, what are you passionate about?
All fantastic advice. And Terry, I've been blessed by our conversation, and I'm sure many others listening to the program have been as well. So if people want to reach out to you and connect with you in some way after this, after listening to this program, what's the best way they can connect with you?
Well, there's a couple of ways. My phone number at work is 864-579-0558. And that's extension 146, or just ask for me. And you've asked for Terry, they'll connect you. And then my email is Terry M, T-E-R-R-Y-M, at Renfrow Bros, RENFROWBROS.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. Some people connect with that way, but I'm here to help people. That's what God's called me to do, and whatever that looks like for people. And, you know, sometimes people just have to need somebody to talk to. That is something else that you haven't asked me this question, but and you kind of asked it a couple of times in a way, but there's something else that I do now that I didn't do, that I've been doing the last 10 years or so. And I meet with a group of guys every Friday morning. And one of them happens to be my pastor, but it wasn't designed that way. But and we sit there and we talk about life and where we are. Some weeks I go in there and it's, hey, things have gone pretty well, and everybody's healthy, you know, job's going good. And some weeks I go in there, it's a train wreck. But a couple, 3 weeks ago, I had a wrong attitude about something. I went in there, and I was looking for some sympathy, and I throwed it out on the table, and they lit me up, saying, no, you're wrong. You got a wrong attitude. You need to adjust your thinking there. And they were 100% right. And I listened to them. I made some adjustments and acted on their advice, and it turned out really great. But we all need that in our life. We need people that will look us in the eye and be honest with us, you know, even till it hurts. But it's the one thing I do for myself every week. My wife wants me to go to that meeting every Friday because she knows that's what I need, because I'm just going there and be Terry. I'm not chief people officer. I'm not anything. I'm not the leader. I'm just the man, Terry, there at the table with three other, four other guys, and that 100% confidential, you know, and we just share where we are. They hold me accountable on things, and you know, and it's just a really amazing thing. But I went 50 years and did it my way on my own, and never did anything like this. But it's the one thing I do for myself every week that's just for me.
Tell you what. Allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and humble enough to understand that we cannot successfully navigate this life on our own. That's a big step that a lot of people never take. And thank you. I'm glad you shared that, even though I didn't think to ask you that. I'm glad that you did share that, because, man, it's a challenge to all of us to put ourselves in some sort of accountability group, which is fantastic. But like you said, sometimes can hurt a little bit. But no pain, no gain, right, pal?
That's right. That's right.
Fantastic. Well, Terry, thanks so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings. You have a blessed day, sir.
You too. Thank you.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. If you've been blessed by my conversation with Terry Messenger, as I have been, please go over to careercallings.net/radio and go to the webpage that goes with Terry's interview, and you can just search Terry in the search box. It'll take you right to that page, and we'll of course link to his contact information on that page as always. And remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.